So some further thoughts about Palm Sunday. The day that we focus on this first time, first Palm Sunday, the day that we now refer to as Palm Sunday, it was just another day. This day that Jesus rode to Jerusalem and was hailed as a king. In Jewish society, this, of course, is one of their many important festivals they have throughout the year, the festival of the Passover. It's a time that they celebrate each year. It's a time when the Jews remember how God used Moses to set them free from their time of slavery in Egypt. And even in Jesus' time, people made a pilgrimage to the temple to go and offer their sacrifice, their thanksgiving for the freedom that they had, even though they were living under Roman occupation. For families, this would have been a big thing. They would have taken a lot of planning. If they were to travel, they'd have to travel for 2 or 3 days, possibly, each way, to make sure they got there to offer their sacrifice. Jesus, as we know, followed the Jewish traditions. He was born and bred a Jew. And therefore he knew the importance of the Passover. And he celebrated it with his disciples each year. But this year was going to be something different. It was going to be even more special. The thing was that only God and Jesus knew this. No one else. Jesus had to stick to what his plan was and not give the game away in modern day's terminology. And we're told in that Bible passage from Luke's Gospel that we saw on the screen that as Jesus and his disciples neared Jerusalem, they stopped at the base of the Mount of Olives. Was this to allow Jesus a few moments to get his strength up, get his thoughts together? That's my question. We're not told. There's no evidence. That's just my thoughts. But Jesus sends 2 of his disciples ahead of him to find a donkey for him to ride on, to ride into the holy city of Jerusalem. He was going to go in as a king. But why a donkey? If a king comes to a town or a city, he's exactly just wandering the back door. They come in with a big triumph. They make a big noise. They'd have a big horse or chariots, or they'd have their army around them. They have all to say, fantastic, wouldn't they? It would have been very special. It would have been a major event. And yet Jesus chose a donkey, humble animal, an animal that was considered just a beast of burden by some, an animal that was just used to carry things. The disciples by now, of course, are quite used to Jesus saying, "I'll go and do this, you'll find this exactly like this." So they've got used to this, and this is what happened. They go through to the village, they find the donkey exactly as Jesus had told them. And the owner of the animal just says, "All right, that's fine, you can use him. Bring him back." I don't know whether he gets them to sign a guarantee or get a deposit or anything like that. We're not told that, but today you would do, wouldn't you? You'd have about 50 million bits of paper. Anyway, simple life there. But what a sight this must have been, mustn't it? The people lining the streets, hundreds, thousands, we don't know. Lining the streets. They know something different is about to happen. People jostling for position, jumping up and down to find out what's going on. Maybe some asking what's happening. They find out there's a king coming. And the Jews wanted a king. They needed somebody to overthrow the Roman authorities, this occupying Roman authority force. So they would have expected a huge spectacle. The king to come in all their glory, dressed in their fine robes, have their arms around them, ride on a fine chariot, make a big noise. What do they get? An ordinary looking guy riding on a donkey. It was predicted that Jesus would ride on a donkey from the book of Zechariah some 500 years before this event. It says in Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey." The crowds shouted out. They shouted out, "Blessed the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." What a noise that must have been. How wonderful to be in part of that crowd, see this king. I wonder how many were disappointed when they saw an ordinary looking guy riding a donkey. No army, just a bunch of 12 guys, ordinary guys who had happened to follow him around for 3 years. But yet still, the crowd did this amazing thing. They cut down the palm branches. They put their cloaks on the ground to make the roads nice and smooth. They gave him a great welcome. They shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." They made a great noise. And of course the church leaders, our friends the Pharisees, they were not impressed slightest. How unusual for them to not be impressed with Jesus. And they can't work out what to do. So they tell Jesus to tell the crowd to keep quiet, shut up. And I love Jesus' response. "If I tell the crowd to keep quiet, even the stones will cry out." In other words, no chance. They are going to shout and sing their praises. They want me as their king. God needs me as their king on earth. Yet Jesus knew what was going to happen in the coming days. This is the beginning of the most important week in the Christian calendar, Holy Week, when we do our final preparations to proclaim Jesus as our King. We have the benefit of 2,000 years of hindsight. We know what's coming. The crowd didn't. The crowd on this day that we celebrate today just shouted and saw their king, who then goes on to the temple and on through the rest of this amazing week. Jesus rode into the holy city of Jerusalem as a king. Jesus still is the king. He can be the king of our lives if we let him. Is Jesus the king of your life today? Is Jesus the king of my life today? I wonder. Let's pray.